I was putting together the worship services for the month of December. I do them all at once because you have to keep all the hymns straight and you want to do all those things well. And it dawned on me that our regular scripture reading in the Gospel of Matthew, while we're celebrating the month of Christmas, will focus on the death of Jesus. We're in the Gospel of Matthew in that portion that deals with the arrest and the trial and will lead to the crucifixion of Jesus. And it occurred to me how appropriate that is, because it will remind us that Jesus was born in order to die. He did not come to be a cuddly baby, although he was absolutely adorable. But he came that he would be crucified for our sins. So we begin today in chapter 26 and verse 36. And we'll continue through chapter 26 of Matthew's Gospel to verse 56. Now this is the Garden of Gethsemane, and it is the arrest of Jesus Christ. And I dare say there are scarcely more solemn portions of Scripture than when we see the Son of God in his humanity comes into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knows that the work that he signed up to do, as it were, before the incarnation was now coming upon him, that the infinite wrath of his Holy Father would be placed upon his soul so that we might be redeemed of our sin. And any notion we have that because of his deity, Jesus kind of mechanically goes through it is disabused, as we see him three times in this passage. He goes to the Father and he says, if it's possible, if this cup would be taken away from me, let it be, but your will, not mine, be done. Now, what Jesus is wrestling with is the cost that he would pay in order that by his love we would be forgiven of our sins. Now, it's clear that Jesus knows there is no other way. Sometimes theologians will argue, was the cross truly necessary? And sometimes you'll hear theories that, well, it wasn't necessarily necessary. There could have been another way. Oh, the Garden of Gethsemane disabuses that notion. So dark is the sin that we've committed, so heinous, the eternal effects of our transgressions of God's law are so great that no, there is no other way for God's grace to redeem the people that he's chosen and would give to his Son, except that the Son of God should sacrifice himself in our place. And it is not the physical sufferings primarily that are in his mind. It is the wrath of the holy God upon his soul. But how blessed are those words that he says, not my will, but thine be done. It was, of course, his will. He was in agreement with the will of the Father. But in his humanity, we see him dreading that which he voluntarily embraced for us. Now, the second half deals with his arrest. And so you go from such sublimity to such depravity. Judas Iscariot, who had been with him all these years, had been blessed by him, he sells out the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Then he has the temerity to come to the Garden of Gethsemane and to betray Jesus with a kiss. It's a reminder that once we turn from the Lord, there is nothing that we are not capable of doing. And look at what he does. And what's emphasized here is the sovereignty of Christ. Christ is not the victim. As I read it, you'll hear, he's orchestrating this. He knows it's going to happen in advance. He makes himself available, and his particular concern is that the scriptures would be fulfilled. In fact, the last verse, all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophet might be fulfilled. Now, why was Jesus so concerned? Not only that he would die as was needed, but that he would fulfill the scriptures, well, so that it would be accredited to us. Because we know as the scriptures, these prophecies are fulfilled, we know this is the truth of the living God, and we are humbled even as we see our Savior. Well, with those things said, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. I'll begin at verse 36 of Matthew 26. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him. And he came up to Jesus at once and said, Greetings, Rabbi. And he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, Friend, do what you came to do. Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you not think that I can appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, Have you come out against as a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples left him and fled. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.